Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The dawn of the Age of Heroes has come, and we follow the path of public service. Today, I'm proud to be starting the show with Matt Ackerman, who is one of the 2022 BOE candidates here in Tenafly, New Jersey. Greetings and welcome, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you, Hercules?
I'm doing great. So what brings you to this point where you're running for office here in Tenafly?
Well, first, Hercules, just want to thank you for the opportunity to bring me on to this show and for all that you are personally doing to try to provide a forum for people to talk about issues critical for our community, give people who are stepping up and trying to take responsibility with leadership positions. I also want to say, I think that your general perspective on people trying to be heroic by pursuing difficult paths, trying to take on hard challenges, is one that resonates personally with me. And I think your general perspective that people from all backgrounds, from religious to secular and everything in between, and all different kinds, backgrounds, and perspectives, is also one that I very much embrace and I think is really positive. So thank you for providing this forum, and thank you for doing what you do.
And thank you for stepping up the plate and attempting to take more responsibility in our community. Thank you for your kind words as well.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So tell us about your journey, because it seems like an intercontinental journey that you've had so far, and it's brought you here to the here and now, and you've stepped up the plate. So I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, you know, I went to college at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore and was not really sure about what I wanted to do when I graduated. I'd heard a lot and learned a lot about, you know, different inequities in the world, learned a lot about poverty in the global South in particular, was also, frankly, you know, interested in adventure. And the Peace Corps was something that was presented to me as an option at my college's career fair, and I decided to go for that. And it was a, let's say, a big experience, overwhelming experience, positive, difficult, exciting, challenging, humbling in many different ways. I was sent to Ecuador, where I lived in the rainforest part of the country. In Ecuador, it's referred to as the Oriente. And it's the eastern part of the country. Really, in Ecuador, it's the frontier. And I was placed in a town that was relatively large for a Peace Corps volunteer, which means that there was about 5,000 people in the town. It had things like a store and even a couple of restaurants, and, you know, learned a tremendous amount while also being exposed to some really desperate poverty that has really stuck with me over the years, and learned about how hard some of those problems are to do something about, tried as well as I could to do something positive myself, learned Spanish. And just had an incredible experience that has really stuck with me and informed a lot of what I do, maybe in the biggest way. And I think this is what a lot of people maybe miss about Peace Corps service, is that, you know, the first two goals, there's three formal goals that the Peace Corps has. And the first two are, you know, the kind of cultural communal exchange, you know, both on the part of people from North America Americans with people outside the world and people outside the world with Americans. And that really dramatically expanded my perspective on the different kinds of lives that all kinds of people were leading, the different kind of cultural perspectives that people bring to the table, the different things that people do, challenges they face. And all of that really has informed a lot of my thinking since. And then after, when I was done with that, I ended up in New York, and I participated in the New York City Teaching Fellows Program, which is a program for people to teach in public schools in New York City, generally underserved, less performing public schools. I was placed at a high school in Bushwick, Brooklyn, where I taught English for a couple of years. At the same time, I was learning at Pace University, studying towards a master's of science and teaching. And all that, again, was sort of another opportunity for me to try to give back, try to help with problems that I saw as well as I could, but also a real learning experience about the challenges that people face, you know, right here in the New York area, and different perspectives that people had, as well as just taught me a lot about the challenges of teaching, the challenges of working in a public education system. And, you know, a lot of that is part of the reason why I've decided to step up and put myself forward as a candidate for the Board of Election, Board of Education, rather, here in Tenafly. Because it's my hope that I can use those experiences to inform the vision, the direction of the Tenafly school system, and help it do even better than it has. And another thing I want to make sure I say is that I love Tenafly Public Schools. Like many people who live in Tenafly, a big part of the reason why my family moved to Tenafly was because of the public school system. You know, my son in particular, one of my sons had some challenges in some of the private schools we were sending him to. We're not thrilled with the experiences he had there. We had been living before that in Englewood. We've been in the area for quite some time. And, you know, we thought that the public school system in Tenafly was one that we might want to take advantage of, and one that could be very positive for our son. And that has very much proved to be the case. He has had extraordinary teachers, extraordinary experiences, people who have helped him tremendously, and not just academically. And I think more importantly, socially, emotionally, and, you know, that has really been an extremely positive experience for my family. And it's also afforded us and me personally the opportunity to see some of the great things that Tenafly Public Schools does. You know, and one thing that really stands out for me in particular is the arts. We went to a winter concert that my son participated in, and I was just blown away by the care and attention of the professionals who were leading that and teaching these students. The beauty, frankly, of the performances that I saw, there was a particular choir song that my son didn't participate in, but that I saw called Winter With You, that the children sang so beautifully, and it was such a moving, touching song. And another thing that really stood out for me was the extraordinary diversity of our community. And it was so moving to see these children from so many different backgrounds and perspectives, and the parents and families of those children, again, from so many perspectives, backgrounds, all coming together to make beautiful music. And I think it, in so many ways, represented the best of what a public school system can be. That said, you know, there are real challenges in our school system. You know, in particular, I'm sure your listeners are aware that the assistant superintendent and the superintendent both resigned just a week before school started this year. The superintendent only gave 3 months notice. That same day that the announcement went out that she was resigning, the current Board of Education said that they had just learned about that day. And once you start to learn about what the real responsibilities and, you know, powers of a local Board of Education are, you learn that chief among them, number one, is hiring, firing, oversight of the superintendent. And I think that this unfortunately showed a real failure on behalf of the current Board of Education. So I think it's important, you know, for myself to say, well, look, I have some experiences that can hopefully be positive, can help inform our school system in a positive direction, and, you know, not say, you know, there's these problems and just kind of sit and complain to myself or, you know, criticize the current leadership. I know it's, you know, very difficult to step up and lead, but, you know, to say, take responsibility myself, step forward and provide an option, and give the people of Tenafly a choice in terms of who the leadership of their school system will be.
What would you offer as a leader? Because you, as you said, you have a very high opinion of the Tenafly school system, as do I. And you're right, Tenafly is known. The first word that comes to mind when people say Tenafly is excellent school system. I've encountered that so many different times. What would you bring to the leadership that would make things better? And the life skills that you have, which are impressive, how would you use your life skills and your education towards the challenges that the Board of Ed is facing?
Well, you know, again, I think the issues with the current superintendent resigning as she did, that being the chief responsibility of the Board of Education, clearly that's not being managed appropriately. People might not realize as well that in her previous role in Lyndhurst, this is before she was hired in Tenafly, she left behind a $1.4 million budget hole that led to layoffs and cuts in services. So this is all things that the current board should have been, was aware of, and making sure that we have the best possible leadership, especially because that really is the chief job of the Board of Education, is extraordinarily important. Other issues that are very well known to our community are the technology hack that happened last spring. It caused big disruption to the high school, led to us paying a $25,000 deductible that was part of, I believe, a $2 million ransom that we needed to pay to get back online. Again, this is part of, you know, core responsibilities of the Board of Education to provide vision, leadership, direction, and ensure that these things are managed appropriately. So as great as Tenafly Public Schools are, it's really important that we have a Board of Education that is overseeing these kinds of issues appropriately, spending their time, effort, whatever discretionary budget they have available, on the appropriate kind of things to manage these kinds of things. And as someone with full-time experience as a public public high school classroom teacher, as well as a graduate degree in teaching, you know, I think and I hope that I could leverage that experience to make sure that Tenafly is a place, Tenafly Public Schools is a place that supports and attracts great teachers. And that it can be expressed in all kinds of ways, you know, because we all know from our experiences in education that what's most important, what really makes a difference when you're in a classroom, you know, beyond any resources, even beyond facilities, is who is that teacher in the room? Who is the professional who is teaching you, teaching your students, your children? And like I said, I think we have we are blessed with a lot of really great teachers, but we can't take that for granted. And my experience allows me to understand, you know, what are the kinds of things that really can help teachers and allow them to do their job as well as possible. And I'll give you a few examples.
Okay.
So one thing that great teachers really want and need is autonomy. So that means the ability to determine as well as they can for themselves how to manage their classroom, their curriculum, the individual daily lesson plans as well as possible. It's a real burden when you're teaching 5 days a week, if it's one class or multiple classes, just to put together the program of instruction on a daily basis, to write those lesson plans, connect them together to a larger unit. And it's really important that our teachers have the freedom to do that without kind of heavy-handed mandates coming from above, particularly mandates related to things that are outside of the core subjects that they're trying to teach. You know, kind of, you know, a little bit contradictory to that. At the same time, it's really important that the leadership of a school system maps out kind of a multi-year curriculum, a plan for student instruction across the entire system. So in a system like Tenafly Public Schools, from kindergarten all the way through to 12th grade, so that at the same time that a teacher is sort of figuring out how to craft those units, those individual lesson plans, they also understand how does this fit into the larger picture. And that's something that I've seen myself can be a failing of a lot of school systems. So on the one hand, you want teachers to have a lot of autonomy, but on the other hand, you want to make sure that the leadership is doing their part, which is to really map out in a multi-year, what are the curriculum goals? What are the things we're trying to achieve so that a teacher really understands how to place what they're doing within that larger scheme? So other things are providing real quality resources to teachers. And by that I mean curating for them, providing access to the kind of lesson plans, the best kind of unit plans, the best kind of curriculum that's out there. It's a really big challenge to map out an entire school year when you're working as a teacher. And just, you know, finding those resources, even, you know, we all know you can go online, there's a lot out there, but having professionals, administrative professionals who understand how to find and help teachers find those best possible resources, make sure that those are all paid for if they need to be paid for in order to give them access to them, and provide those to teachers so that they're not doing that legwork. And it also, you know, other things that, you know, might seem minor but really impact your day-to-day when you're a teacher. Technology, for example. You know, that's why, you know, I think what happened with the technology hack last spring is so troubling, because that's one of the things that we definitely don't want our teachers to have to think about. You know, we want to make it super easy for them. We want to provide them with the best possible technology. We don't want them to have to figure it out for themselves. We want to provide it to them, give them whatever training might be necessary, but make sure that certainly something like a hack isn't anything they have to worry about. But beyond that, that, you know, at the senior administrative level, that we're providing those resources as well as we can, making sure that that is all set and very easy for them. That's not exactly under the Board of Education's purview, but it is the board's responsibility to provide vision, direction, as I said, to make sure that whatever discretionary budget is available is being directed appropriately. So there's a lot that a board can do to help teachers and make Tenafly the kind of place where great teachers want to teach. You know, I could kind of go on for this for too long, but, you know, other things that...
And unfortunately, we're running out of time. We have around five minutes left. You brought up a lot of things, and it seems, to my understanding, that you're focusing on teachers, you're focusing on and their needs, you're focusing on the curriculums, you're focusing on tools, especially technology, and you're focusing on attracting the best people and keeping them in the system. So that's basically what you stand for. Did I understand it correctly?
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. How can people find out more about you?
You can check our website, tenaflyboe.org. You can also email us, info@tenaflyboe.org. I also want to say I'm really proud to be running alongside Marisa Bonomo and Michael Croce. They both also bring really relevant, important experience and expertise that a great Board of Education could use. Marisa has been teaching and working in the Fort Lee Public School System for more than 30 years. She continues to work there.
We will be hearing from her, and we heard from Michael yesterday. So thank you so very much for taking the time to come on the show and explain a little bit about your position and who you are and what you stand for. And like all those who've come on to the show, I wish you success in all your endeavors.
All right. Well, thank you, Hercules.
Okay, be well. And we're going to take a brief break now. We're going to listen to If You Can Dream, which is a song I've chosen for this particular series of interviews. And then we'll be back with Igor Frid.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream. Till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
Greetings and welcome back to Age of Heroes. I am Hercules Invictus. Before we start on our next interview, I just wanted to share a little bit of insight into my relationship with Tenafly. I'm greatly honored and blessed to be a resident of Tenafly, which is a borough in New Jersey's Bergen County. In fact, I can conceive of no better place to be at this particular point in my life. Tenafly has been affectionately called Camelot by some of its longtime residents, and having lived in the borough for about a decade now, I can certainly understand why. In legend, Camelot is a shiny example of collective human endeavor at its finest and a powerful reminder of the greatness we are capable of expressing through wise governance. Under the wise and visionary leadership of our mayor and his council, Tenafly is a prosperous and cheerful community that places a high premium on education, the environment, wellness, and overall quality of life. Visual images of Tenafly would make any postcard proud. Tenafly has already been recognized as one of the best places to live in the Garden State and thus serves as an excellent role model for our Elysium project. Not that Tenafly is free of challenges. There will always be obstacles in life to draw us together, inspire our best efforts, stimulate our creativity, expand our understanding, and guarantee our continued growth as individuals and as a community. In Tenafly, we have the optimism and confidence to anticipate, meet, and benefit from tackling these challenges. Tenafly also inspires many creative people with diverse and sometimes opposing views to volunteer their time and work together towards creating an even better future for all its residents. I'm proud to be one of this number and consider each moment spent in the service of Tenafly to be time well spent. I am honored that my life path led me back to Tenafly, and Tenafly is proof that by working together in concert for the benefit of our community, we can indeed create and live in a much better world. I would like to personally thank all of the people who live or work in Tenafly for inspiring me with such a truly noble dream and granting me the opportunity to contribute to it. And I want to thank all the people who have come onto the show thus far to share their own hero journeys and let people know how much they love this town. And now without further delay, Igor Frid. Greetings and welcome, Igor. How are you?
Hello, Hercules. How are you doing? I'm doing great today.
I'm glad to hear it. And you are a very persistent individual. I've interviewed you before, and I'm looking forward to catching up. First, tell us your hero journey. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the position of the candidacy.
Of course. First of all, I would like to thank you for this great service that you do to our community presenting candidates and letting them speak about themselves and their platform. So as far as myself, yes, we definitely had this conversation last year. Yes, thank you for the compliment. I'm very persistent in trying to contribute to the community. I was born in Ukraine and moved to the United States after finishing my high school. And so my education, I received my bachelor and master's degree education here in state. Got my finance degree from Pace University and later got a master's degree in technology management from Columbia. I've been passionate about technology since childhood, so it was natural that you know, landing in New York on Wall Street, combining my tech experience with finance degree, felt like a good fit. You know, beyond my professional life, you know, first and foremost, I'm a father, I'm a husband. My wife and I are raising two girls, and you know, we moved to Tenafly in 2011, so it's 11 years ago, to raise our children. And both our girls started in Tenafly public schools from kindergarten, and now the oldest one is a junior in Tenafly High School, and you know, now we doing all the prep work for college, and the youngest one is a fifth grader at McKay. We had a fantastic experience living in Tenafly, in a very diverse town. I'm also proud of my daughters for running fundraisers for Ukraine this year. So my oldest one was baking cookies and selling them, while my youngest partnered with her classmates to create and sell bracelets. So like between two of them, they raised over $1,000, which was later on matched by other corporations. Very proud of my girls, very happy that we chose Tenafly as our as a place to raise them, you know, now like you know, since last year, you know, I ran because I wanted to give back to the community and you know, be grateful for everything that we received from the community so far.
Incredibly awesome. And I'm glad that your daughters are taking part in making the world a better place as well through their efforts. That is incredibly awesome.
Thank you.
So what brings you back to this place? What makes you run again as a candidate for the Board of Education?
First of all, I would like to Tenafly to continue to enhance and offer the best education possible to our students. As I say, people don't move to Tenafly for the weather. Quality of education has always been and will always be what draws families to our town. I initially, you know, before running last year, I got involved with Board of Education in 2020 during COVID. It was natural because a lot of parents were relying on Board of Education on communication around COVID, and you know, board was providing a lot of useful information during the sessions, and it was a great place to get an understanding what's happening around policies around schools. As I got involved with the board and started attending meetings, I also noticed that you know, there are certain areas where district is facing challenges because a lot of technology implementation had to be accelerated during COVID, something that while it was planned to be done at some point, it wasn't planned to be done as fast as it had to be done. And I figured, well, I have a technology background. I'm passionate about curriculum, specifically STEM areas. And while, you know, in general, all subjects are important. Like it's not just about, you know, raising kids who are like, good at math. Like, you know, they have to be well-rounded and educated in sciences, math, art. But I figured that's one area where I could contribute. So I ran. I filled out a petition last year. I ran. Unfortunately, came out short, a few votes. But there was also an opportunity, right? So there was an opportunity to fill in a vacant position, which was there in November. I applied for that position and was very honored that the board chose me to fill the position, and I got 1 year to serve on the board and gain certain experience and perspective on how board works and how best I can contribute. And I believe that now with that experience and with my passion for change, I can contribute. I can continue to contribute. I believe that I can influence change now that I know how to work on the board and how to work with the administration. And I'm running again because my work is not done, and I want to continue what I set out to do last year.
And again, you're very persistent and you're very directed and goal-oriented. And that's always a great strength to have. So what did you learn from this experience in the past year? What type of insights has it given you that you feel would make you a much more powerful candidate for the BOE?
One thing that worked great was that the leadership of the board did something that they rarely do. I can't say, I don't know history far enough to say it was ever done, but when we had to specify which committees we want to be on, my top two choices were finance and curriculum and technology, right? So those were my top choices, and I actually got them, right? And considering I didn't have so much experience, it was a true honor to be entrusted to serve on those committees. It speaks greatly about our leadership and about how visionary they are and how they ensure that regardless of the experience that they place right people in the right positions to ensure that our board operates as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And with being on those two committees, I gained perspective which I otherwise probably didn't get. And So first of all, I learned about board process. Sitting in board meetings in the chair, as an attendee, you generally receive all the information, but you don't know how the board operates and how all of the decisions are made. And you begin to realize how much effort and time goes into it, right? So every board member, I mean, they're volunteers, but they put in an insane amount of effort. When we talk about board leadership, there are times where it feels like it's a full-time job, right? So it's, everybody is very dedicated. And, having a great relationship with every board member and having a very coherent team, I believe it was a real pleasure to be on the board this year, and that also contributed to gaining experience and learning. I learned about committee structure, how the committees operate, how decisions are made, how we work with administration. As we were exiting COVID, I was sitting through all the decision making around policies on COVID and moving to normal, and you realize that when it comes to decisions that impact community, none of those decisions are made unilaterally, right? So representatives from community get pulled in, their opinion is heard, everything is reconciled against state officials' recommendations, against medical advisors, and then taking everything into consideration, decisions are made. And you know, that was also something that I learned about, and that was a pleasant experience, because I realized that, you know, like when all those policy changes are made, they are made with great consideration for the community. Another example is Security Roundtable that just started yesterday, right? That's another example where, you know, like administration put together a roundtable with key stakeholders and to make sure that every voice is heard, because these decisions are important, and it's a multifaceted, you know, there are different opinions and everything has to be weighed, and ultimately decisions are made. Oh, another also great experience was so like this year we changed how we evaluate superintendent, and that was a great. I mean, obviously it's an annual exercise, and if we go through that every year, but for me it was the first. And when you go through evaluation, you realize how important it is to, you know, set out goals and objectives for administration at the beginning of the year to ensure that, because that's effectively your main lever, right? Because as a board, we work with the superintendent, and everything else gets cascaded from superintendent down. So going through the evaluation also highlighted how important to set those goals and objectives correctly at the beginning of the year, so that we can actually influence change, affect change throughout the year. So it's been a very enjoyable year. Sometimes we were sitting in a room till midnight, but every second of it was worth it.
Yes, that's been coming out a lot during these segments, is the dedication that each individual has, because this is a very labor-intensive position, as you pointed out, and it requires a lot of your time that is spent away from your family and your friends, and yet you have the level of dedication to devote the time to it and to try to improve our community by doing so. In terms of what you learned over the past year and the insights it's given you, how does that translate into leading the board in a better direction or more effective direction?
We will definitely we'll engage in conversations on how to hire a new superintendent, it's important to communicate our vision for the district and also agree on goals, objectives, priorities, and, you know, all the constraints around budgets, right? I think this experience will help us not only with the selection of a superintendent, but also in engaging the new superintendent in a way that actually supports the vision for the district. And given all this experience and given the experience of the current board, I think we are very well positioned to frame it in a way that will work for the district and will move us in the right direction.
And you're somebody who believes very strongly and has a lot of experience in technology. And technology has transformed our world, even if you just think about the pandemic and Zoom. The pandemic being something that's non-technological, but we've used technology to try to curtail it and better live with it and conquer it. But also with Zoom, Zoom transformed all our interactions over the course of the pandemic. Where do you see us going with technology? I know it's hard to predict the future, but what do you see as somebody who's very technologically focused?
I have a personal experience with technology when it comes to education. As lifelong learners, our family, like we rely on EdTech at home to expand our knowledge across different subjects. And we use Audible, YouTube, great courses, Coursera, various podcasts. So there are different channels how to acquire knowledge, and you can do it in different settings while walking, while running, while driving, while, you know, doing other things, right? So the way I place technology is mostly the primary focus is to accelerate learning in an individualized way, right? Or like personalized mm-hmm. to individual students, right? We already have amazing teachers. We can, as a district, attract great teachers. We just need to continue to improve the workday through better tools. You know, like every second we can save on the, routine administrative things around keeping track of assessments or, you know, taking notes on progress across different classes, like anything that we can automate will save time for our teachers to focus on our children. And by giving them more time, they can spend time and tools, they can create like a better profile for individual students, understand what works for the student, and then use various technology to craft individualized plan for their progress. Like obviously, I'm dreaming, right? It will take some time to get to this place. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, when to answer your question where or how I see technology in education, that's how I see it. It's help for the teachers. Student management, parent communication is extremely important, right? Like there are a ton of research that says the more parents are aware of progress of the children at school, what they do, where they struggle, the better those children perform. And getting, real-time feedback to parents would be extremely beneficial, right? So like, we would like to move away from, not move away, but, do more than just grade cards at the end of the period, right? We get three of them every year. But anything that we can do on a real-time basis would be beneficial for the children. And as I said, like differentiated learning can be supported as well.
Thank you. Now, the next question, again, I'm trying to avoid some of the controversies that are out there for this election, but this election cycle has been a little bit more challenging, and not just because of the pandemic. We're in a very polarized setting. How has that affected your candidacy, if at all?
The important thing that we have a lot of things coming up next year. When we looked at facilities and the need to upgrade our facilities, it was obvious that based on the projected cost, we would need to run a referendum. And to do a referendum, to propose it to a community requires a great deal of understanding of budget process. What facilities we have, how schools operate from buildings and grounds perspective. So and also experience working with architects. So all this experience is extremely important to move a needle on something like this. And we have current leadership of the board designed for re-election, and that's the experience that we currently have, and it's experience that we want to retain on the board. So that's why it's very, very important, and because experience of the board matters. We always want the board of ed to be independent, like free of politics, right? Because politics, as you said, it's can be polarizing, can be divisive, and we need Board of Education to serve our community. But we need local solutions, not national politics, because children come first, our community comes first, and everybody who is joining the board, should be running on the platform to serve our children and not on some agenda from national political party.
Okay, so it's been a little bit more challenging, but it seems like everybody that I've had on so far is focusing on the issues rather than that are local to us and the school system rather than to more global issues, except that generally insofar as how does this national issue translate into Tenafly specifically. So we've been very lucky during these programs. Now, what is your vision for the future? Because, again, you bring a very unique perspective in very many ways, and you're very dedicated to making the world a better place for yourself, for your family, and for your community, and that comes across very clearly. What is your optimal vision for the next few years?
I can probably outline your vision for the district from all possible facets. I think for us, priority have to be finding great superintendent, right? And, I personally would like to find somebody who very innovative and who can bring new ideas and, move our district in a fresh direction, right? So because like when we look at public education, it's it has like a sizable inertia. It's very difficult to make changes. It takes time, and it would be great to find a superintendent that we can build a long-term relationship with, who would help us implement this vision of moving in a fresh direction. The other area where I would like to focus would be, I would like to continue my focus is curriculum and technology, right? So when it comes to curriculum, would be great to make sure that it's more transparent, more accessible to our parents, lesson plans are available, syllabi is available. A lot of information that's currently, it's not that it doesn't exist, it's just fragmented, maybe not organized in the best way, but for parents it's very important. So I think that when it comes to curriculum, it's extremely important that parents understand what's been taught at school and what the children are going through. Computational thinking, that's part of my platform last year and this year, because it's the whole world is moving computational, so everything is computational, and it's very important that we treat it at the same level, just like reading and writing, right? It's a skill that takes many years to develop. We need to start in kindergarten and in 12th grade. It's already part of New Jersey learning standards. We started doing this implementation, but we're just scratching the surface. There is a lot more that we need to do, and hopefully new superintendent will support it, and the new assistant superintendent will support it, and we'll continue moving the needle in that area. And math curriculum enhancements in elementary schools, right? So there is, we need to reassess what our expectations are from math curriculum, because like to implement any change, we need to start with the goals and objectives. We need to be able to measure against them and assess, okay, if we want to achieve X and currently we're not achieving it, then how can we bridge that gap? Do we need to change curriculum? Do we need to enhance curriculum? So that's the area where I really would like new administration to work with the community to understand all the concerns and find a way to make sure that the community and students are happy with the curriculum.
Igor, we're running out of time, and I'd like for you to share how people can get in contact with you.
Yes, I have my website, igorforboe.org, with all my contact information there. People can reach out to me via forms there. And just want to thank all the listeners, and I want to thank you, Hercules, one more time for giving us this opportunity.
And I want to thank you for being so dedicated to our community and for so unselfishly donating your time, the time that you have not only in running for the board, but also in doing the work that you did with the Board of Education this past year since the last time we spoke. And I wish you, as I wish everyone, the greatest of success in all your endeavors. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to take another quick break. And again, I've chosen the song If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. And let me just find it here. And we will be back with our last interview for today, Paula Newman. Thank you again, Igor.
Thank you.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
Greetings and welcome back to Age of Heroes. I am Hercules Invictus, and that was If You Can Dream by Ginger Ackley. And now we proceed on the path of public service and speak with Paula Newman. Greetings and welcome, Paula.
Greetings. Thank you so much for having me to Mount Olympus. I'm really happy to be here and speaking with you.
And I'm happy that you're here as well. You have already dedicated so much to the Board of Education, and you've been involved in it for quite a while. What brings you to the position of candidate?
So it's definitely 100% the children. My family moved here 17 years ago. We were living in the city. I did not grow up in New Jersey. I grew up in Maryland. I went to school at Tulane University in New Orleans. I moved back to Washington, D.C., and then I worked on Capitol Hill for a few years for the Senate, two Senate committees, and then I went back to law school. And after law school, I found myself in New York, worked for a few years, met my husband. We had our first child, and when we were looking for a place to settle down, somebody said, look at Tenafly. And I said, what is Tenafly? And then I came and looked, and true to your Camelot comparison, it was beautiful. We loved the mature trees. We loved being close to the downtown. We ended up moving within the eyes view of the Mom Elementary School where my three children went to school, and all three of my children went through the schools. And they had such a great experience. I'd like to talk a little bit about their experiences because they really inspired me to want to be a member of the Board of Education. You know, I heard from the minute we moved here, oh, Tenafly is going to prepare your kids for college, right? Everybody says that. Everybody says the schools are great. But until you actually go through it, and I just had my son graduate Tenafly High School last year. He started in kindergarten and he graduated last year. And I was told they would be prepared. But I had no idea until I started talking to my son now. I mean, he's learned how to, not just academically is he doing well. Not only does he know how to study well, but he really has learned how to advocate for himself. He was unhappy. He's not happy with the professor. You know, I heard people telling me, advocate for your kid. And he said, I never even asked him. He said, I'm going to advocate for myself. I'm going to go talk to my professors. But he's doing well. He just wants to, you know, so what more do you want to know than when your kids go through from kindergarten to 12th grade that they're going to be, a successful afterwards? That's what it gets me really excited about the schools. And I also have a senior in high school as well. She actually, she's doing great as well. She actually has Tourette's, and transitions have always been difficult for her. And when she started in Tenafly Middle School and when she started in Tenafly High School, she really had a difficult time with transition. DAF and the teachers and the administration were so fantastic at working at her pace to get her acclimated. Mm-hmm. She participates in sports. She participates in plays. She had her own TV segment on the Tenafly High School TV channel. Uh-huh. She tries different classes. Like, you know, so there's been so many opportunities for her, and she has thrived in our schools. And then I have my baby, who's 6 feet tall and is a 5'3" woman. It's you know, she's still my baby, but she is a ninth grader. And I would say that she started out pretty average in middle school. I mean, she wasn't, she was smart, but, you know, she didn't really try that hard. And all on her own, she's in almost all honors classes now. She's taking double science. She rows crew for a club team. So, you know, Tenafly, I've experienced it. I love the schools. And I feel like this district prepares kids to excel, not just in academics, but they really do look at the whole child. And I'm thrilled to be a part of helping make decisions to just continue to make our school district the best it can be. So that's why I want to be on the board. That's what drives me, and that's what keeps me here.
And your dedication shows through every word, plus your dedication to your kids and the kids of everybody the school system. Now,
you
sold yourself short a little bit when you talked about your background. You have a much more impressive background than what you shared here in the segment. Would you care to talk about your background? Because I feel it's important because this is the Board of Education. You're very well educated, and your education continues very far.
I kind of glossed over the law school part, which was a huge part. And actually, I remember when I was on Capitol Hill, I was in the Senate Finance Committee, and both of my parents are lawyers, and they both said to me, don't do it, Paula. Don't go to law school. But something compelled me to go to law school. And all of the tax and trust attorneys on the Finance Committee said, go into trust and estates law. And I said, you guys are crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, P.S., fast forward many years later, and I did trust and estates in law school, and I worked for a bank in New York City. I was also I spoke at the New York State Bankers Association Trust Administration School. I did take off a few years from my practice of law. But the thing about law school is that it gives you these analytical tools, these, you know, you never look at something from just one angle. So I think that actually helps me as a board member, because I'm always thinking about it, every issue from as many angles. And I am fairly critical, and I always try to look at both sides. I don't always say, I think I have a very rosy disposition. However, I always say, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? And try to find the balance between those. And that I think helps make me a better board member. Not better than the other people, because honestly, everybody on the board, I say this, I think every board member would agree with me that I say this to them, and I say this to the community members that I talk to. Everybody is on the board for a reason. Everybody Yes. has their own set of skills and purpose, and I really appreciate that about everybody who's on the board, regardless of their background. Everybody has great skills, great insight, and we all learn together and we all learn from each other.
Yes, I admire everyone who gives of their precious time to better serve our community and to guarantee that it's a much better place for all of us, even as we move past it, as a lot of our children are doing. They're leaving, but they're well prepared to succeed in the world, and that's a very important thing.
They're not leaving, they're growing, they're flourishing.
Good point.
They flourish. They're not just leaving. See, there's the rosy side.
I bow down to that. You're absolutely correct. So you have already been involved with the Board of Education. You were a volunteer and you were a trustee, and that, not just for months, but for years. So that must give you a very unique perspective and some very unique qualities that you're bringing to the position.
I started volunteering for the mom school, like immediately. One of my neighbors was involved with the cultural arts committee, and I had the best time for 7 years of helping choose the extra assemblies and programming that the school was able to participate in. And I actually went to them myself because I just enjoyed the performances. I enjoyed seeing how the kids enjoyed them. And then I eventually became the liaison for the high school to attend board meetings. So I started going to board meetings, and I think one thing that I want to say to anybody who's listening, and by the way, if you hear my dog in the background, she's trying to say hi. I think that it is very frustrating going to a board meeting because you don't get the full picture. And we're talking about things when we're sitting on the board that, we've been talking about maybe for months, maybe for years. So when somebody comes to the meeting, like I can remember my first few meetings just as a public participant, I was like, what are they talking about? And it was very frustrating. But the longer I stayed, the more I got interested in the things that they were talking about. You know, when they started talking about the budget process, it's not like one day it pops up and there's the budget in front of you. It's a year-long process, and we talk about things like for an entire year. And I think also there are things that have been going on for years. I've heard about facilities for the past, I'm going to say 7 or 8 years, and I know that they've been talking about it longer. But I will say that what I'm proud about the work that we've done as a committee, because I am on the facilities committee and a board in general, is that we put this huge focus on saying, well, facilities matter aesthetically. Facilities matter for the community. You know, we love to build another, better fields for even another field for people to walk on in the community, have another place to go to be, you know, to have a place to play. But academically, we are trying to create more spaces because after touring every building and seeing how proud every administrator was of their building, even for the fact that they've converted small, almost closet-like rooms into small instruction spaces, it's amazing. And, you know, we've taken the time to look at these places and say, how can we make it better for our children? How can we make it better for our teachers? How can we make it better for our entire community? And I'm really proud of that work. And also, when we do projects for the community, because I've been going to meetings for so long, I can remember hearing a member of the community who didn't even have kids in the school coming and saying, you guys did a project, and it actually had an effect on my property. And so when we start doing projects, we say, okay, this is great, but how is this going to affect the people who live around the schools? How is this going to affect everyone? And, you know, I think having that experience, having the, you know, opportunity to be involved for so long, having that institutional knowledge, I think that's really important and something that is another reason why I really want to run for the board, because if you just have new people on the board, you lose that institutional knowledge. And I think that's very important, especially as we talk about things like referendum and making it so that we can have less students going out of district, but have spaces for them that are right for their needs on all different levels. So I think that having that experience is very important.
And I'm glad that you're bringing that dimension as to how does this affect the larger community, because that is very important.
We have to be fiscally responsible. I mean, we don't just make a budget in a vacuum. We know how it affects the taxpayers, and we try our hardest to keep within a responsible budget for everyone, because, you know, I can remember, you know, I've talked to people many times, and some people will say to me, well, I don't have kids in the schools anymore. I said, but you pay for it. You're a taxpayer. It matters.
Right.
And I think that's really important.
Now, so you have personal experiences that you've had, you have educational and vocational experiences that all come together, plus experience in the actual board of Ed. You also are a performance artist, or were a performance artist. Has that increased your appreciation of the arts in the Tampa Bay school system?
Absolutely. One of my favorite things to do is go and listen to all of the performances. I mean, from elementary school through high school, it brings pride and a smile to my face. And we have so many talented artists. And I'm not just talking about the you know, kids who have been doing this for their entire lives, but I think that the district, even my daughter has performed and participated and been on the board for the One Act Plays, which is a high school play for those of you guys who don't know. And they are student directed. It's a student board that runs this. And so it's not just the polished performances that are unbelievable. I mean, if anybody went to go see The Little Mermaid, that was lights out. And it's not just because my daughter's best friend was Ariel. I mean, I thought everybody did a phenomenal job, but there are those experiences, you know, everywhere. And the district in the arts, and I'll even say in sports, because my son was 10 seasons as a student manager. He never touched a ball, but he was a student manager for 10 different seasons. And I remember the athletic director saying, you know, we try to find opportunities for everybody. And I think that's what's great about our district, is that we really try to find opportunities for everybody, whether it's sports, arts, academics, clubs. I can't say enough about our district.
It's very true in Tenafly itself, even in terms of the mayor and the council. So many people are looking for something meaningful to do, and there's so many volunteer opportunities waiting. And
so many. It's like you guys, it's hard to choose, yeah. Right?
And I know I don't have the time at this present time to be involved in as many different things as I would like. But I've been on the environmental committee. I used to attend meetings with the green team. I'm still on the stigma free, and I'm doing Access for All, and I'm part of the mayor's wellness campaign. So there's no lack of things to do if you love this town and want to help it along.
Exactly.
So I can just say it's very correct.
Yeah, and excuse me, even there's the joint use committee that tries to find ways that we can be more fiscally responsible, efficient with our resources, not just financial resources, but personnel resources, to try and work together. And I think that's great about this town. Like, we're always trying to find opportunities, even though we're supposed to have this firewall between the board and the town. To find the ways where we can work together. And, I've been on that committee as well. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the work that the town does and includes us as well.
Yes, that is an awesome thing. And wow, I'm phenomenally impressed. Can you share, do you have a private vision for how you would help Tenafly blossom even more than it's blossomed by being on the board?
I think I have touched upon a little bit. You know, it's definitely facilities is something that, like I said, was very eye-opening, seeing how great our schools are and how great they could be if we could give just a little bit more to the attention to the actual buildings. I think that would open up doors for curriculum opportunities. I will say, you know, as great as the schools are and as great as my children are doing and have done, there's always room for improvement. And we have phenomenal teachers. We have people who care on all different levels, not just, like I said, not just in the classroom, but the guidance counselors are there, and we've expanded the mental health capacity, which during the pandemic, I mean, can we talk about, like, it was bad enough for the parents, but these poor kids, like, you know, mm-hmm. we've expanded it to help them. I think that we have great vision. I think we have people in the community that care. I think that once we have a new superintendent that can work with us with our vision and just keep going on the momentum that we have been going, there's just no stopping us. The parent involvement is huge, and everybody cares, and everybody has something different that they care about. And I think that might be the hardest part about being a board member, right? To say, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. You can't yes everybody because you have a fixed budget. So it's trying to find that balance and, again, be fiscally responsible, but still use the vision and trust that the teachers know what they're doing and that we just keep providing more and more tools, more professional development, more opportunities for them to grow as teachers so that they can bring their growth and excitement back to our students. There's no stopping us. There never has been, and we can just keep getting better. And I hope to be a part of that.
I hope that you're a part of that as well. Like I said, I'm very impressed. I have another question. This one may seem frivolous, but is it true that you are a rock and roll singer?
It is true that during my journey of my lifetime, there has not been a spoon or a hairbrush that I had not met as a child that I did not use as a microphone to sing into. And when I turned 40, after I had battled breast cancer, and I call myself a thriver, and when I say that I see the silver lining, I say, you know, it just made me stronger. I told my husband, I said, I want to sing in a band. And so I threw a concert, and I had so much fun that I started playing with the band at the School of Rock and had so much fun with that that I got hired to sing with a professional band. And it is one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. And there are times, Hercules, where I am so tired and I don't want to go. I'll talk to my husband. I'll talk to my mom on the phone. I'm driving out to band practice and I'm like, I don't want to go. I'm tired. And they know, they say, just call me afterwards. As soon as I'm done singing, even if it's just practice, I have so much joy in my heart. It literally, my heart is singing as much as my voice. It is one of the most enjoyable experiences. I love performing. And even though sometimes I think I don't have it in me, I get in front of a crowd. And if they're excited, it just makes me just more excited. And it's awesome. It is really one of those hobbies that I just love.
And that is great that, again, you're someone who, as with several of other candidates, to you to want to do something, it's done. That come across very, very clearly. And so few people really explore their passions or their secret desires or whatever. So I'm glad that you did and found a lot of satisfaction.
Thank you.
All our lives would be much richer if everybody did that, if everyone explored these things that they've always wanted to do. Because sometimes that becomes a secret of your destiny and you find yourself by taking such a path.
And that's true. But I will say, when I was offered, somebody called me and said, oh, you should audition for this band. And I said, nobody's going to hire me. Who would want me to sing with them? And my husband looked at me. He said, you're crazy. Just audition. You can always say no. And I said, all right, I'll just try. And then when they hired me, they said, all right, it's Friday nights. And I had young kids. I said, I can't do this. It's Friday nights. He said, you're crazy. Just try it. Just see it. And so, you know, my family has actually helped me push myself. And I hope that I am teaching a lesson to them that you just have to try. You just have to put yourself out there. And I feel the same way about the board. You know, you put yourself out there and you just, sometimes the work is really hard, but when you have a good group of people, you can really create great things. And, I'm glad that I have that knowledge to share with others.
And I'm glad that you've shared that knowledge tonight with all our listeners. And I was going to wait till after all the interviews were over to ask this of all the candidates. But since we have a couple of minutes, I will ask it of you now. What can be done so that next time that there's an election, the candidates even have a better opportunity to share their story and share their dreams and share their vision for the Board of Education?
I have to be quite honest with you. I think the candidates forum that the high school puts on every year is a great opportunity for people to come out. And I should stop before I even say that. And first of all, thank them for their volunteer time and for their dedication. And not just the high school that puts on the forum, but it's really all of the HSAs that put that together. And, you know, we've had other organizations reach out about doing other candidates forums, which hopefully we'll be able to do. I think that, you know, being around town, we're a small town. And I say hi to everybody that I meet, and I try to make a personal connection with everybody that I meet. And I think that we all try to do that. You know, It gets a lot, though, towards the end. You know, you're trying to meet with people. You're trying to do these podcasts and candidates forums, and you can feel like you're pulled in every direction. But it's so great to get the feedback and to be able to share these things. So I'm grateful of the people who do this. I'm grateful for you, Hercules, for putting on these podcasts. I listen to them every year, and some of your other podcasts are very interesting as well. So, you know,
Thank you, listeners
out there, don't just listen for the Tenafly board candidates, but, you know, there's other very interesting topics. So I think we do a good job, and I think everybody does a good job. But I do want to actually, if I can just say one other thing.
Sure.
Right before the forum began this evening, there were about 31 former board trustees and HSA executive committee representatives who put out an endorsement for myself, for Igor, and for Jocelyn. And I wanted to thank them. I know that they said that they're going to be putting it around town. I was privileged to get a copy of it before the forum this evening, before your podcast this evening, rather. And I wanted to thank them for their support of the three of us and the work that we've done. And they did say some, I'm just going to read what they wrote. They said, you know, to be successful BOE trustee, one must have the ability to collaborate with other trustees, a willingness to understand multiple points of view, and a readiness to represent the best interests of the community. Igor Fried, Jocelyn Schwartz, and Paula Newman possess these qualities. And I want to thank them for their support and thank everybody, because I've had outreach from so many people. It really touches my heart, and it pushes me to work harder to be there for everyone.
And we've had Jocelyn and Igor on the show, and now we've had you on the show. So another message going out into the community. How can people find you online and follow all the wonderful things you're doing?
Well, I am always available. My email is Paula Newman for Tenafly BOE at gmail.com. Email me. I'd be happy to meet. I'd be happy to respond by email. I try to teach my children a little bit of control over social media, so I don't really have a social media presence, but I am always willing to talk to people. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, if you know one of my friends, get in touch with them, but reach me on my email, and I am happy to speak with you in person for coffee or tea, because I really don't drink coffee, and even an email conversation.
Thank you very much, Paula. I wish you success in all your endeavors, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
It's been a pleasure speaking, and good luck with all of your endeavors.
Thank you very much, and thanks to all our listeners, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And thanks again, Paula.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.